You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, episode 63.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by ShopMessage.me, an incredibly powerful Shopify app. Do you want to know the secret marketing channel that Fashion Nova, Pura Vida bracelets, and Movement watches use to drive millions in revenue? The answer is Facebook Messenger, and it's powered by ShopMessage, the leading conversational marketing platform. When I saw how much revenue Shopify brands were making on Messenger, I was blown away, so I had to meet ShopMessage's co-founder and CEO, Arjun. I even recorded a podcast, episode 20, Learn Why Facebook Messenger is the e-commerce channel for the next decade and how you can capitalize. I just love the value that this company brings to brands. You will acquire more customers, you'll create more delightful interactive conversations, and most importantly, you're going to build brand loyalty. Now, for listeners of E-Commerce Fastlane, ShopMessage is now offering a 30-day free trial and guarantees you'll see at least a 4x ROI on your first paid month, or they'll refund the difference. So go to shopmessage.me/Fastlane. That's shopmessage.me/Fastlane and start your 30-day free trial today. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving online with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, new episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and now Spotify. Or you can also sign up now at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when new shows are being released. Now, on today's episode, I'm chatting with Greg Zakowitz, who is the Senior Commerce Marketing Analyst for Bronto. And, you know, they're one of the leading email service providers for some of the top retailers around the world. Personalized email and marketing automation are important strategies that you have to have a firm grasp on, you know, which is precisely why I invited Greg onto the show today. You know, I really hope that you enjoy this episode and you know, get some great learnings and great strategies just kind of to level up your business through email marketing automation. And, you know, really with the goal to help you maximize your revenue opportunities that are available to you now as being a Shopify store owner. So, hi, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Super excited to be here today.
I have quite a few questions that I've kind of prepped up. Hopefully I don't catch you off guard on too many of them, but a couple of the first questions I usually ask are around the brand and or app. And on a high level, can you kind of share what Bronto does and what problem that it solves for Shopify store owners?
Yeah, absolutely. So for those that don't know, Bronto is a marketing automation platform. We have a very strong specialization in email marketing, which is what we were originally built for. We were built as an email marketing platform. Since 2012, we have certainly graduated and evolved as the times evolved as well. From a Shopify Plus standpoint, we are focused on retailers. So we're focused on retail e-commerce focused companies. And our goal is to help them drive revenue. So Shopify Plus and Shopify customers can obviously relate to that because they are trying to drive revenue on their own side from an online standpoint. The beauty about Bronto is that we consider ourselves easy to use, right? It is, you know, we're built with the marketer in mind, so you can control your own marketing decisions, but you have the tools to help you power those. And what I mean by that is the ability to create email messages with a drop and drag message builder, maintain automated messages such as welcome series or shopping cart abandonment or browse abandonment or post-purchase, like whatever type of automated message or series you want, you can do that, but you don't need to involve IT staff with that. So there's a simple drop and drag workflow. You connect a couple nodes, you determine what actions you want, and those messages automate. So there's everything is right there available for the marketer. They don't need to get their IT involved. They don't need to get a work order with the email provider involved to change those things. You just jump in, you do it, and you're good to go from that standpoint. So those are some things that set us apart. Now, I mentioned we have a strong specialty in email. We do a lot of other things as well. So if you're interested in SMS marketing, we have that. Obviously, if you're going to be successful with email, you've got to grow your list. And we could talk for days about the strategies to do that. But we have list growth tools built into the platform. So pop-ups that you control, you know, the lovely pop-up that everyone loves when they get to a new website, asking for email address. But we have that built into our platform as well. So again, you don't really need IT to get in there to develop things. You can make those changes on the fly and have them go live right there. We have coupon management tools, so we can sync your coupons from your e-com platform into Bronto. So when you send emails out, you can have unique coupon codes. So there's tons of different things we can do, all the way through intuitive product recommendations to website recommendations using that data. So it's a really long answer for you, Steve. I apologize for that, but there's so much more than beyond email marketing, but certainly email marketing is kind of our bread and butter from a marketing standpoint.
Yeah, that's really good to share all that, because I think that's maybe some of the misconceptions in the market too, that, you know, unfortunately, they do kind of associate, at least the market from what I see, that Bronto is kind of associated to being an email marketing solution and a marketing automation type platform. But it's interesting to see that there's lots of other parts of the platform that can really grow along with the brand. Like you said, they want to add on SMS, or they want to add a pop-up, exit intents, and different ways of growing your list. And I think what I find interesting too is that, you know, I have quite a few conversations with different sort of app and marketing platform people in the Shopify ecosystem. And one recurring question that comes up is like, why do merchants have so many legacy solutions or legacy apps in their admin? Because what's happening is that, you know, as a brand starts growing and maturing and scaling on Shopify, they tend to have a kind of a purpose-built app that they've added on, and they kind of leave it there for years, and it's kind of doing what it needs to do. But then as the maturity of the brand starts growing, then all of a sudden, are these all apps talking to each other, or is there a more mid to enterprise solution that can manage that whole kind of marketing workflow, email through to other strategies to increase revenue? So I guess that's the point you're making with Bronto, is that's kind of where it is today. Yes, we're awesome at email, but we also have other parts of the platform to kind of expand and grow as the maturity of the merchant grows.
Yeah, we've certainly evolved that over time. But to your point, you have these conversations with podcast guests and industry professionals when you go wherever, whoever you're talking to, where you we have all these legacy systems out there, but the industry as a whole, I mean, you see it every day. There's a new acquisition, a new merger happening with just, you know, these big platforms and things like that. And Bronto is not immune to that. I mean, we've been acquired ourselves as well. So you get this consolidation in some respects, but the consolidation is happening because you're getting marketers who need to do more, and they need more than just one point solution for this, one point solution for that, one point solution for that. And next thing you know, you got eight legacy point solutions and you got two other things doing something. So you kind of teed up a thing that I think is important that we'll tell Shopify Plus customers, but we'll really tell anyone, is, you know, as opposed to some other email platforms or other companies out there where, you know, they want to kind of get you into, you know, not to say this in a bad way, but to sell you a product that maybe it's a 1 year, 2 year commitment, maybe it's month to month, whatever it might be. And then they hope you do well and they hope you stick with them. We position ourselves, and you'll see this when you talk to any salesperson or account management, whoever it is, but we position ourselves as being a platform where we can be the first and last partner that you need. So we are built for growth. We're built focused on retailers. So as they grow, our tools are developed to, you could be small and you could be successful with us. And as you have more needs and more resources, or you need more help and we have those internal resources available, as you grow, you don't need to find the next platform. You don't need to graduate up. We can pretty much do everything. So we look for, you know, we don't look for customers. We look for people who want to partner with us. And we see ourselves as more of a vendor, but we can take those small customers all the way up to the large customers, and we can meet the needs for what they're looking for. Which is, I think, it's a great selling point, but it's a great way to kind of think about it when you, to your point, you have all these legacy solutions and you have this, this mass consolidation happening in the industry as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Part of my job is doing app audits inside brands, admins, and it just shocks me at some of the solutions that are in there when, yeah, they could be consolidated down into a few and or a private solution just to kind of make it run better and faster and just more efficient. So. Let's talk a little bit more about Bronto. You touched on it briefly about this acquisition that's kind of happening overall. I think recently there was an acquisition with Swell Rewards and Yotpo, and there's quite a few others that are happening in tech right now in the e-commerce space. So maybe if you can just, I guess, share with the listeners, just you're much more than just an email service provider or a marketing suite, but there's obviously a journey that Bronto has been on, and maybe you can kind of share a little bit of that.
Sure. So Bronto, as a company, we were founded in 2002 by two people, Joe Colopy and Chaz Felix, here in Durham, North Carolina, which is where I'm based out of, and our headquarters currently sits. And they've built it over time. And then as it was organically funded, everything was, I'll say organically funded again, but everything was kind of reinvested back into the company as we grew smart, but scalably over time. And a few years ago, NetSuite, which I'm sure everyone knows who NetSuite is, but NetSuite came and acquired us. But they love their tool. They love what we did. They love their focus on retailers and our focus on marketers. And then obviously everyone knows that NetSuite a couple of years ago was acquired by Oracle. So we're part of that Oracle umbrella. We still kind of operate on their NetSuite's wing a little bit, which is nice. But Bronto, we still have that unique feel. We have our own offices. We still work as a independent subsidiary in some respects. So we're still Bronto. We still have the Bronto culture. We still have all the great things that made Bronto who it is.
Yeah.
From a Bronto standpoint, I mentioned we're headquartered in Durham, North Carolina. We do have offices around the world as well. We have a New York, an LA, a Toronto, a London, and a Sydney offices as well. Our client roster is over 1,400 brands now worldwide. And I think you mentioned to it in the beginning, we are the number one email provider to the global internet retailer 1000 as well. So
right.
I think it speaks to our focus on retailers. That's what retailers love, is our focus on commerce there. So it's been a long story. We've been around for a long time, but it's a growing story and it's a evolving and kind of cool story. So I've been with Bronto for just about 7 years now. So I've gone from, you know, a small startup type feel all the way through kind of working under this large company called Oracle. And it's been great. It's been a great ride.
Is there anything particular about Shopify or Shopify Plus that's unique about kind of where Bronto is today?
Yeah. So some of the beauty of having some key partners and Shopify Plus being one of them is that our tool is easy to use. It's easy to integrate with regardless of what e-com platform you're on. But Shopify Plus is one of the specific ones where we have this pre-built connector coming in. So a Shopify Plus customer wants to sync data with Bronto's platform, so we can use that purchase data, we can use all that other type of data they might have to run segments or automate messages, things like that. We have this pre-built connector between Shopify Plus and Bronto, and really what it is it's, again, using it in more of a layman's term, but you don't need to develop or get your hired IT staff involved to be like, hey, now we need to write all these APIs to go from Bronto over to there. You simply just log in, you make some updated settings. We have guides that will guide users step-by-step through it. We have support staff on hand to kind of walk you through it. But it's designed where it's almost plug and play, for lack of a better term. The marketer can go in there, set most of the things up. If they need to get IT involved, it's going to be on a pretty minor basis at that point. But it allows that two-way sync of data coming over, which allows you to do a lot of things, right? We can send transactional messages for Shopify Plus customers. We can use all that critical shopping customer data that lives inside of Shopify Plus from these customers or non-customers where you have the data anyways, put it into Bronto, and then we can do these great marketing tactics and provide relevant content to them as well. So we make it extremely easy for Shopify Plus customers to integrate with Bronto without having to get that, again, that 3 month IT and checks and balances and all these things kind of figured out. It can kind of jump in and get it done relatively quickly and relatively easily.
I have a few merchants that I manage, and they've got a lot of the email service providers up to the table, and they did their demos and whatnot, and they ultimately made the decision to go with Bronto. And from what I can see, as their global expansion is happening now with these are two fashion brands, they're doing phenomenal, and they are using a lot of the power that the Bronto platform has. So I can see that the vetting decision was right for them, and quite happy with growth trajectory that they're on right now. So it's pretty exciting.
That's a great story. And you know, if you think about it, think about all that data that lives for a Shopify Plus customer that lives in their e-com platform, right? You have, I mentioned, not only beyond the customers, but you have this product catalog sitting there. What can you do with a product catalog? Well, you know, we talked about browser abandonment, which is a tool Bronto offers, but customer goes to your website, they don't cart the product, but they're signed up for emails, you know they're there. You can automate these messages extremely easily that go out to these customers that, I mean, it can sound like, hey, you know, hey, Greg, we noticed you checking out this product here. Or it could just look like a a well-timed message you might get on any Tuesday of the week that is just around that category of product and message. And the customer, all they know is it's a relevant message at a very relevant time for them. But being able to have that data automatically synced and trigger those messages off to people, it's easy marketing, it's profitable marketing, it's relevant marketing, which consumers absolutely want today. And the marketer is just sitting back going, you know, let me focus on my day-to-day stuff and let this stuff drive revenue in the back end. So beyond just capturing order data and things like that, having those product catalogs and all that stuff synced, it's a powerful tool for marketers. But, you know, it's an underutilized tactic now, but it's growing. It's certainly growing as a tactic that more and more companies are using.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this acquisition, because I think it's always an interesting topic to discuss.
Sure.
And you mentioned that Bronto, you know, I guess started off solo, and then it was the NetSuite, and then NetSuite through to Oracle now. So can you kind of talk about maybe how the Bronto platform, has it been impacted at all? You said the culture is the same, but I was just curious on some feedback about what's happened now since Oracle has taken over.
Sure. Caveat here before I get into it, because we're a public company, if I mention something on product roadmap, it's not a solid thing, right? I can't
Fair
comment
enough.
On things like that. And certainly don't trade in Oracle stock based on anything I say, but got that out of the way and you'll stay out of jail. You'll thank me for it.
Absolutely.
The acquisition's been really good for us, and both the NetSuite and the Oracle acquisition have been good for us. From the standpoint of it's given us more resources. So I mentioned we were organically funded from the get-go, which has come with a lot of advantages for us. But the one disadvantage there is you don't get this influx of resources that you might get if you get a round of funding or whatever it might be. Right. We have these great companies now that value, I mean, they acquired us for a reason. They value what we do. They recognize how good we are at what we do. They recognize the success and the happiness of the customers. But that ultimately comes down to what the product can do. If the product stinks, people aren't going to want to be with you. So, you know, we had this great tool to begin with. And then with the acquisitions, just comes more resources. Hey, what do you guys need? What can we do here? And we've made, I don't say leaps and bounds, but we've made dramatic improvement over the last couple of years, first with the NetSuite. And then once Oracle came out, we got even more aggressive with what we can do with improving the platform, improving the tools we offer, improving the look and feel of the platform to make it newer, to improve reports or types of underlying campaigns we can structure. And you know, that hasn't stopped. We have a lot of plans for doing even more, and those resources are there. So from that standpoint, you know, acquisitions scare people, whether it's they're scared of change, or which is completely understandable, or the fear of losing the culture or whatever it might be, losing top employees who want to work for a startup environment. But it's been really good for us. It's been a really good transition. You know, when you deal with other companies in the same space, anytime an acquisition happens, what's going to happen? There's going to be other companies that reach out to your customers like, hey, this thing's not going to go so well for you. I might as well jump ship. And I think our customers understand we have a culture. We do what we do. We're good at what we do. And, you know, that's always from a business standpoint, it's always a nervous thing, but it's been great. And I think our customers have realized that and have seen the benefit of having more resources at your disposal. So a really long answer for you, Steve, which you'll get used to me doing, but it's been great so far.
I've noticed that too with other acquisitions that have happened. I mentioned about the Yotpo and Swell acquisition. That's very interesting. And speaking with the founder of Swell, the whole reason why that kind of serendipity even happened was just they were finding that they weren't growing as fast as they wanted to. And they were bootstrapped company doing their thing in the, you know, in that space. And then, you know, then Yotpo came along and 11th hour made a decision that, yeah, I think it makes sense for the growth of their platform to have a loyalty and reward solution as part of their user-generated content / product review type solution. You know, it's great because he's exactly what's happening with the NetSuite, Oracle, and Bronto together now is just there's so much talent going on in those silos that is now, you know, almost the kimono has been opened up a bit now as we can see successes in those individual platforms. And then all of a sudden now they're sharing resources, they have access to a larger team, and it's better for everybody on all parts of the platform. They're going to still keep them as separate entities, very similar to what's happening. NetSuite's still available, Bronto's still available, Oracle has their solutions. It's just like those are still separate entities, but they're still sharing a lot of great tech now, which is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. We always joke around that Oracle bought NetSuite to acquire us.
Okay.
We're just kind of middle child.
So Let's talk about other email service providers, because I've interviewed some on this show already. There's quite a few available for Shopify store owners in the App Store. So can you share what's maybe the difference between Bronto and Way, and maybe why a Shopify store owner should at least get Bronto to the table to see what it's all about versus other people on the market?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say if you're serious about email marketing, driving revenue and growing, especially for high growth retailers, accelerating your business, there's no reason not to look at us. I mentioned some of the reasons before, but I can definitely dig into some of those a little bit more as well. One of the things we mentioned right away is we're built for commerce and we're built for retailers, and we've been that way almost since day one. So as the platform is developed and grown and solutions put in, everything's been done with the marketer in mind and the retailer in mind. So it gives us a long track record to say, hey, we're focused on how does this tool we put in, or how does this thing we want to do, how does that help retailers drive revenue? And I think it's not a thing to be overlooked. I mean, that's where our focus is. So if you're a retailer, there's no reason not to come and at least look and have that conversation. You know, it comes with that is easy to use. If you're a retailer and you have one or two people in your email marketing team, which most retailers do, right? We see very few companies that have, say, five or six people dedicated to email marketing alone. It's got to be easy to use. You've got to be able to adjust and make changes on the fly and have segments update automatically to make sure your marketing is most effective. And everything we've built, from our lifecycle message automation to how to trigger messages to your segments, that's all been built with mind. So from that standpoint, I think we're right up there, if not the best at what we do from that standpoint. I mentioned all the other tools before: cart abandonment, browse abandonment, pop-ups, SMS messaging, product catalog syncs, integrations with e-com platforms like Shopify Plus and things like that. We try to take the burden off the implementation. We try to take the burden off of the IT staff or whoever might be helping to make that change here. But we also focus on the easy to use automation and what that's made up of. And I'll give you a great example. Shopping cart abandonment, a lot of platforms, a lot of tools have shopping cart abandonment now. A lot of people like myself, which I probably shouldn't do, but I do. You know, I abandon shopping carts. Am I going to get a discount? Am I going to do whatever? Yep. But I find it fascinating that like best practices don't really evolve. But the consumers and marketing tactics and expectations the last 5 to 8 years, they've absolutely evolved, right? People are buying on their mobile phones. They expect more relevance. We've got Gen Z and millennials that expect certain things. But your best practices haven't changed. And finding a solution that has the tools to change and available to you when you're ready to use them are a great example, or you know, are a great thing to have. And the example that I alluded to a minute ago and I never got to is, think about two people abandoning a shopping cart, and one has a $20 pair of headphones in it, and the other one's got a $600 dishwasher in it. And this is a real true story because it happened to me, but I get two messages, and they're the identical shopping cart abandonment messages, which is well and good because I may buy, I may not buy, maybe I put them in the cart to save them for later, whatever it might be. But when your main value add in that message is, hey, we get free shipping over $35, well, for the yeah, headphones, that's great.
Yeah.
Because I'm at $20, so I can move up. If I'm spending $600 on a dishwasher, I expect free shipping. But I also need to know different things. The reason I'm shopping for a dishwasher and the reasons I'm not buying it are much different than the reasons I'm shopping and not buying the headphones. So being able to use segmentation or tools in the messaging that you can say, hey, if a customer is looking at this particular SKU in the cart or this product category or has even purchased from me before, let's send them this type of message versus this one. And maybe your value add for the dishwasher isn't free shipping on $35. Maybe it's want to know more about dishwashers or interested in installation hallway services, learn more here, because those are things that I want to know when I'm buying a dishwasher. Right. I want to know what a quiet rating is. I want to know how much I have to pay to get this thing hauled away and if you're going to install it. I don't need those things with the headphones. So having tools like Bronto does that give you all the options to say, hey, what are the products? When's the sale end date? What's the gender of the products? And that's where the syncing of the product catalog comes in handy, is you can do things from colors to attributes to even purchaser. Hey, Greg's never purchased before. Do I want to bribe him to try to purchase? Or
yeah,
he's purchased 6 times in the last 2 months. I don't need to incentivize this guy. He's going to come back.
Right.
So it gives you all these different tools. And a lot of platforms don't offer those things. Bronto does, but we built those things because we have that marketer in mind. We have the consumers in mind. So just a couple of different examples there of some of the things you can do from us. I will say that the one of the benefits of being organically funded is we control our own destiny as well, which allowed us to not have to put money into chasing a lot of B2B. We have B2B customers, but we don't have to aggressively chase every single customer to make revenue numbers. Me in the past, because we've had a focus and we know that if we deliver the best product out there, retailers are going to see that and they're going to want to come for us.
Yeah, that's really good information because, you know, it makes me think a lot about Shopify and kind of how you're connecting with Bronto. And that kind of tech stack is interesting with the cart abandonment side because you're right. Most cart abandonment sequences are typically kind of, hey, you left this in your cart and, you know, within 15 to 30 minutes or so, and then they'll hit them again an hour or 7 hours later. And there's kind of, you know, some basic strategies, but they're all following a very specific template and they're not really digging even deeper into, well, what exactly is actually being added to the cart? And then has this person purchased before or not? And then just the whole, should we incentivize this transaction or not? And so some interesting variables in here that I guess the tagged customer and just some of this order history, it's or not, or no order history. That's a very interesting way of looking at it. Because I think on a high level, some kind of early stage merchants and brands are just doing the basics. If it's Facebook Messenger retargeting or text message retargeting or doing some email cart abandonment kind of targeting, and they're just following a basic kind of flow. And I think that's really a step number one. But now I know that Bronto has this really neat option now of letting a marketer really dig deep into, well, what specifically has been added to the cart and what's the customer profile of this person adding it to the cart? And then what's the messaging based on almost on a SKU level or a collection level? How do we deal with those sort of cart abandonment sequences? Very, very interesting.
Yeah. And if you're a marketer, I mean, those are things that excite you as a marketer.
Yeah.
As a marketer, I mean, I used to do it and we used to look for all the different ways we can change what we are doing or test different things. And even just a testing tool in there is good enough. But once you start slicing and dicing these things, I think it's so cool to do. And it's so cool that you can do it so easily, right? I could jump in there and in 30 seconds make variable changes and do things like that. So, you know, if you're a marketer interested in that stuff, you're like, woo,
yeah.
You know, you're bells and whistles go off.
Absolutely. Yeah. As a lot of people listening to the show are definitely in that space. So I really hope they get some value out of that. Just getting a trial and getting this, trying out Bronto to see what it can do. So you mentioned a few times so far that, you know, Bronto is kind of built really to grow along with a company. It could start off with email, but and it can expand into other parts of the platform. But can you explain like a little more detail, maybe like, you know, what you mean about that?
Yeah. And thanks for asking, because that obviously that's a really broad answer. Right?
Yeah, it is.
Come on. We got everything for
you.
I'll try to break this down. I'll try to give a small example of maybe a smaller client and what their needs might be. And then as you grow, what your needs might develop into. So, you know, Bronto has so much built into the platform that is just native form. So whether you're a large company or a small company, your automation tools are all set for you there. You have your lifecycle, your workflow canvas, and you can drag and drop. Now, a smaller company who maybe is coming from a month-to-month platform, or they're just growing their email channel a little bit, but they still don't need things like, they don't need SMS marketing, or they don't need website recommendations and things like that. Well, they don't need to use those tools in Bronto. So they might be more focused on, hey, we need to get a welcome message or a welcome series out. They might not know how to do those things. They might have a little bit of an idea how to do those things, but they need a little help with them. So for those companies that want to invest in email, they're still smaller. They don't have a gazillion dollars to hire, you know, a bunch of staff to that are cracked and have the knowledge base there. They can still do all the automation they need to with the resource available to them. But Bronto, I mentioned before, we view our customers as partners as opposed to customers or contracts. So we have a complete in-house solution. It's almost, if you think of like an agency, we do everything from strategic consulting with dedicated marketing strategists. And these are people who used to run email marketing programs for companies and had success. I used to be one of those people. We have consulting services available for them. We have graphic and design services. Maybe you have one person and you need to, holidays are coming up, we're in Q4 now. You're sending more emails. You don't have the graphic design or copywriters to create those messages. We can do that in-house for you. We can do everything from running your entire email program for you until you're ready to take that over, or maybe you never want to. So we have these tools available for a smaller client. Now, does that small client need, like I said, website recommendations? Well, it could be useful, but they probably don't need them right now. It's probably not their focus. Mm-hmm. They might not even need intuitive user-specific email product recommendations. Mm-hmm. That's fine as well. As they grow, they probably need more tools. They probably want to get more sophisticated. And that's where we can, you know, they can still use those workflows to make those things as sophisticated as they want from the marketer standpoint. But maybe they, at that point, they do want the ongoing consulting services. Maybe they do want to outsource some more stuff because they're doing more emails and they're segmenting more. Or maybe they want to take advantage of intuitive product recommendations, not only inside of their emails, but also on their website with web recommendations. Those are tools that are probably more advanced for most marketers. There's more thought and more strategy and more data sync that goes into those things. So as you grow, the tools are available for you there, but you don't need to use the tools just because they're there. We offer the things you need to in a scalable way and in a user-friendly way at from the small side all the way up to the big side. So, you know, hopefully that sheds a little direction or a little explanation with some examples there to kind of paint that picture a little more clearly.
Yeah. I really appreciate the fact that Bronto has that. I didn't realize there was like a professional services kind of a team or a group of people that are available to kind of help kind of emerging brands that don't have large budgets and or just don't have the team or the talent yet to do that, where, you know, you can kind of step in with the baked in success strategies for people. So something to seriously consider, because I would say that most email service providers don't have that service. And the only way that they do it would be through strategic partnerships with other agencies versus it happening in-house at Bronto is interesting.
And we do have agencies who are partners of ours as well. So it's not like we shun agencies. In fact, sometimes with consulting services, the retailer will still use an agency and we'll be on the phone call, the strategic call with the retailer and the agency there. So we try to play nice with everyone. And, you know, we realize that not everyone's going to use those services in-house. They might have an agency they're more familiar with for whatever reason. And that's fine as well. But those tools are, we have a pretty big team internally that handles all those things. And we have retailers, you know, large retailers who we do everything from A to Z from their email. We're pretty much their email marketing department. And we have some where they just need an extra couple hours to do stuff in November and December. And we do those and that's all they need. And that we're fine with that as well. So big or small, we can take care of it.
Right. So email's obviously been around for quite some time now. And it, you know, it certainly is we've all proven it, that it's an important marketing strategy, certainly for Shopify brands too. And so how has email marketing changed over the past few years? Has Bronto, you touched on a little bit, but has Bronto kind of positioned itself based on these changes in the marketplace now, or from a consumer's perspective about how they want to interact with email or how the marketers want to use a solution now?
Yeah, absolutely. And you just opened up a Pandora's box.
I'm sorry.
So, sit back, grab a cup of coffee, relax. I'll be talking for a day. No. We got a hard stuff. So certainly we keep these things top of mind, because I mentioned a million times we can have a game here, but you know, we're retail focused, or you know, so our customers, we try to stay on top of the trends, part of my job. And you know, we bake those things into the platform and we improve and iterate upon them. So email changes, I'm sure you're well aware of it and have seen it yourself, but it's becoming more advanced. Mm-hmm. But I say that more from a consumer expectation standpoint. Consumers expect more relevance in their email messaging. There's a study a couple of years ago that I put the chart into presentations I give. As you know, 2 years ago, 2016, which seems like forever ago,
yeah.
Consumers, I mean, it was something like 70% were expecting website browse behavior to be used to make messaging more relevant. And I always tell people, I go, this is 2016. Now, that it seems like 2 years ago, not that long, but do you think that number has come down? No, it's gone up, you know? So the challenge is a lot of retailers, and I would say the majority, we live in a batch and blast world. You open up your inbox, you get marketing emails. A lot of them are batch and blast. It doesn't make it a bad strategy, but some of that points to just lack of resources to create messages and the segment as much as you want to and send specific messages to every single person. And I always say I can create 100 segments in less than an hour. That's super easy, but I can't send 100 segmented messages every single day. It's not scalable. It's not doable for me if I've got one or two people building emails and scheduling them and not doing all those things. So there's this dichotomy a little bit between consumers are expecting a heck of a lot more from retailers, and retailers know it and they're trying to get better at it, but there's still a long way to go. And I think those are some of the places where Bronto has the tools available. And I always tell people, you know, if you do 10% of 10 things, you're getting nothing accomplished. Yeah. Focus on one thing to improve to the customer, get it done, move to the next thing, and then just iterate as you go. But at least you're capturing baselines at the time. You're making a slightly better experience. So I gave the shopping cart abandonment example before. I think it's a good example of simple ways from an automated standpoint to make messaging more relevant. Browser abandonment's obviously one of them. We live in that batch and blast world. So part of that trick is to make batch and blast messages as relevant as possible. And ways you can do that are, one, augmenting with browser abandonment, because you can make those look like generic messages. They're just timely. But intuitive product recommendations, recommendations that take into effect or take into account purchase behavior of the customer, browse behavior of the customer, email activity behavior of the customer, all these things that even if you send it's 50% off today and it's this generic hero lifestyle image that everyone on your list is going to get, you've got something in that message which is relevant for the consumer, and that's the recommendations. And when they click through, you know, if you have intuitive website recommendations that tie into that same data set, that's going to deliver a more unified experience across from email channel to the online channel, the better off you're going to be with it. You know, and I always tell people, it does. You don't have to think advanced, but think of the opposite of advanced. And that's not simplistic, but saying, hey, you know, post-purchase marketing, like dedicated messages to people that just purchased from you, it's so powerful, it's so profitable, and it's probably the most underutilized tactic for email marketers. And, you know, think about last time you bought something online and the next day you got one, two, or three marketing emails from that same company. Like, do you sit back and go, oh, yeah, this is a great experience right here? It's kind of expected now, but it kind of stinks, right? It's like, oh, am I a person or am I a commodity? And it's so easy. I can craft a segment in 2 seconds that maybe five says, hey, give me any customer bought in the last 7 days and just exclude them from promotional messages. And then even if you give them a 2-day break and you start sending them again, at least it's a 2-day break, but then you can just start building thank you messages out that trigger these people. So they get messages and those things convert like gangbusters, and loyalty is hard to get now. So anytime you can get that second conversion or, you know, multitude conversion, you're better off. So all these automated tools, you can do it in Bronto, you know, but think about the product recommendations. Think about those small things that are automated that you don't need those internal resources to do to provide some of that relevance for consumers. And, you know, beyond that, obviously mobile, if you're not mobile optimized, you're not optimized. You've got to have a mobile friendly email. If it looks good on mobile, chances are it looks good on desktop or laptop. So you're fine there. Bronto, our email, if whether you use HTML or our drop and drag editor, we make it mobile friendly, you know, the responsive out of the box. So even here's something for the small guys, right? Those small companies that are looking to grow. Maybe you don't know all the HTML code to make your emails responsive. Use our drop and drag editor and boom, it's going to be automatically responsive for you. So we have these great tools available for you to lessen the load on the retailers. But, you know, email has changed from a consumer expectation standpoint.
This question comes up a little bit from some merchants and clients that I deal with. They, you know, they have a starter plan of, you know, of some email marketing solution, and they're worried that the deliverability of the email doesn't seem as good on some of these other solutions kind of starter plans. And they're feeling that they're either instantly going into the promotions folder in Google, or they're being tagged as spam, or they're not being delivered. And so, is Bronto doing something that's unique in the market as far as it's coming from a trusted domain and the deliverability has a certain amount of, I guess, credibility with the internet service providers that it actually gets delivered to who it's intended to be, instead of having to, you see a lot of these, even the blogging people, they say, hey, you know, you've just signed to our email list. Can you go and white label this? And can you do this and do that? Like, it just seems a little bit nutty that you're forced to have to do these sorts of things because maybe their deliverability isn't as good as they would hope it is. And they're forcing a person who just signed up for their email list to do these sorts of white labeling. So has Bronto positioned themselves, or do they have technology that is helping with deliverability?
Coffee getting cold. So there are things we could do. If anyone tells you that you'll never get an email in the bulk folder, they're not being straight with you. You just can't predict those things. We take deliverability at Bronto extremely seriously. I mean, retailers in mind, if you can't send emails and you can't generate revenue off that, what good is our value prop at that point? So we have a lot of things that we do for that, from that standpoint. One, we do have an in-house deliverability team that is their job. They have done that virtually their whole life. They focus on that. That is all they do on a day-to-day basis, is focus on deliverability and make sure clients, and they help remediate any sort of issues that clients might have. They proactively reach out to clients if they think there might be an issue coming down the pike. From that standpoint, we're great at that stuff. We do offer, from service standpoints, we offer, and a lot of the larger clients will need this more than smaller clients, but deliverability consulting. So we have ongoing calls with them, seedless testing, all those things to make sure they're hitting the inbox. Now, we, from day one, Bronto has been focused on an opt-in email policy. So we do not allow clients to come in and bring lists that they have purchased or rented in there, because those are things that will significantly impact your deliverability. I've seen it from my private days, and I've seen it even in Bronto. And for some reason, you have to take people's word for it, because there's no way to check that. But we do our best vetting process with customers coming in. But it also goes to management. You can have a 100% opt-in list, and if you're sending the people that never open your messages, and you're sending to them for 3 years in a row and they haven't opened, I will guarantee you can wind up in the bulk folder. It's just going to happen. You know, ISPs have become more strict with monitoring email engagement with making those changes. Gmail is definitely one of them. So just because you get in the bulk folder doesn't mean you can't get out. That's what our team is here for. But we take it very seriously. And we have, you know, dedicated IPs available and we have our own way to warm those things up for larger clients that want dedicated IPs. But we take it very seriously, because we know that if I'm bringing in a bad list, it's going to impact someone else. And we don't want one person impacting the other one. So, you know, our in-house teams, our consulting services, our proactive remediation, things like that, you know, we have those available for a reason.
Sorry, I opened that can of worms up. I was just more curious. I'm sure the listeners have the same kind of idea. We're wondering about that, about, you know, how do we get out of spam, or how do we get out of the, you know, this kind of promotions folder and whatnot. So good to know that there's some fail safes in there as far as the team is concerned, with the deliverability team, and even for those that are more upscale brands, as far as volume or complexity, that there is some abilities to have dedicated IPs and dedicated URLs for outbound messages just for deliverability reasons. So that's really pretty cool.
My contention, my contention would be, I wouldn't worry about the promotions tab so much. I haven't seen a negative impact there. I actually like the promotions tab. I know some people don't, but I actually like it. It keeps my inbox a little more clean. And when I go over there, I've got a little more intent for what I'm doing there. So I haven't seen it. I know when that rolled out, I was doing consulting, and it was like Y2K all over again. People were freaking out. And we didn't see any negative impact on it. I still don't see any negative impact. So as a marketer, I would say, don't worry about it. Make your emails as relevant as possible. Do the best you can with the emails. And if it's useful for a customer, they'll find your emails, whether now or when they're ready to buy. But use segments in a strategic way as well. So, you know, if we know Greg hasn't opened his email in 9 months and we keep sending to him, maybe we either want to drop a category, we want to automate some sort of win back or a re-engagement campaign out to him. And ultimately, I would say cut emails off the list. You don't have to wait 6 months to do it. Maybe it's 18 months is right for your brand and your product. You want to get them through a full holiday season in case you're a seasonal buyer. But cut people off the list. Don't be scared. They're going to do more damage to you than good. And you can always retarget those people on Facebook or some sort of social or whatever, and try to win them back at that time. So sorry to jump in there again for you. But
It could go down another whole rabbit hole too, of talking about the whole list migration and that whole process too, because that's happened quite often with merchants too, where they're on a certain email service provider and they're looking to change over, and then testing the waters with the new platform and letting people create new accounts again, and just making sure the deliverability is good, and like in doing small little segments at a time instead of blasting the whole 100,000 or a half a million people on the list all at once. So it's
that's a great point, because we do have an onboarding process for new customers that come on. So like some providers, your contract's up and it's done, and then the next day you're on a new provider and you start sending, and you're kind of at a whim to see to your point, we doing good here? Yeah. We're not doing good here. And you just kind of hold your breath and wait to see. We have a very dedicated onboarding process. So our the way we have it designed, it's going to vary based on complexity with clients and how big they are and what type of data sync they're moving around. But our goal is to get you warmed up. So when you make that switch from whoever you're sending emails through now to Bronto, you already have a comfort level. You know how your list is going through. You know how it's performing. And everything is designed to work from day one so that you're not left doing 3 months or 2 months worth of integration after your contract's up. And then you lose this 2 month of revenue. That's not good for anyone. So we take that approach and make sure when that date switches over, you're already rocking and rolling and you're right in day-to-day business. And you're not going to sit there and hold your breath and be like, am I going the bulk today?
Yeah. All right, good. Well, thanks for sharing that. So we are nearing the end of the show for today, but do you have any closing comments or any kind of takeaways that you would like to leave with the listeners?
Nothing more than I haven't said before. Definitely, if you're a retailer and you're sending emails and you invest in email and you view it as something that's going to drive revenue, and I guarantee it'll drive revenue for you. I guess I shouldn't guarantee anything, but it's a powerful tool. You know, I invite you just to reach out to us. So you can www.bronto.com. I'm sure it's in the episode description as well. Short for Brontosaurus. You can email us at info@bronto.com. You can reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or Twitter, or, you know, if you can spell my last name, it's firstname.lastname@bronto. So Greg.Zakowitz. Reach out to us and we can have a conversation. We are a friendly group over here. Our salespeople are not pushy. So if you have questions, you know, we might not be the right fit for everyone, but we will certainly tell you if we're not the right fit for you. So come on over, check us out. We've got tons of tools for you from blogs and resources as well. And, you know, reach out and see what we can do for you.
Well, thank you so much, Greg, for coming on the show today. I'll definitely make a point of kind of updating the show notes with all your social profiles and ways of getting a hold of you directly. And for those that are listening today, it's just, you know, if you're at that point, maybe in your entrepreneurial journey that you're not satisfied with what email is doing for you today, you know, I'm certainly welcoming you to check out what Bronto has to offer. Hopefully this podcast has at least explained exactly what they can do from early stage people to the mid to enterprise markets. And, you know, there's reasons why they're in part of the global 1000. There's reasons why there's some people that are successfully using the platform. So I just recommend you have a good look at what Bronto is all about. So once again, thanks, Greg, for coming on the show.
Thanks, Steve, for having me. I had a really good time.
This episode is brought to you by ShopMessage, the marketing channel trusted by top Shopify brands like Fashion Nova, Pura Vida bracelets, Movement watches, and many more. Now, don't forget, take advantage of their generous 30-day free trial by visiting shopmessage.me/Fastlane. That's shopmessage.me/Fastlane. You'll get priority onboarding and a 4x ROI guaranteed just for Fastlane listeners. So go check them out. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.